Morning. Thank you everyone for being here. Appreciate everybody, especially a big yasher koach to Avram Eliezer Friedman, who somehow puts it together every week, despite being almost an Erev Pesach. So thank you very much. As many people know, today, Yud Alef Nisan is Rabbi Sharfman's yahrzeit, third yahrzeit. Rav Baruch David Aryeh, Ben Rav Nelson Dov, that's all. And in general, obviously, we'll spend a couple moments speaking about Rabbi Sharfman, but all the more so, yasher koach for everyone who's here now and will be listening later, as this year, as well as all the shirim in general, are always Zecher Nishmaso, and particularly this year, when Klal Yisrael is such a challenging matzav, there are no minyanim really going on in Klal Yisrael, and people who have yahrzeits don't have the ability to daven with a minyan and say Kaddish, Kedusha, Il Nishmaso. But we know from Chazal that Kaddish and Kedusha, Kaddish is a tremendous thing, but there are other schosim. Some schosim really are even greater. And learning Torah, Zecher Nishmas, somebody is in many ways even a greater schos. And really what we have here is an eternal schos. The fact that Rabbi Sharfman for years gave shirim every Sunday morning, building up a very popular shir, devoted, Talmidim is a very, very special thing. You don't have so many shirim like this in the world, where you have here it happens to be a mixture of all types of people, all different backgrounds, balabatim, yeshiva, and come week in and week out, people follow the shir, people keep up with the shir, different halachic topics, and in general, it's called the Rise and Learn shir. But the rise is not just referring to people getting up in the morning. Really, what this shir has been able to do is raise the levels of Torah in these individual lives of everyone who comes to the shir. But really, is raised the whole madriga of Torah. Really, not just North Miami Beach, where the yeshiva is located, but really, South Florida. People come from Miami Beach, Hollywood, and all over, people know of the shir. It's ready on Torah anytime, Rabbi Sharfman shirim. And that itself should be a tremendous ilui for his neshama. All of us that have been raised by the shir, all tremendous hakaras hatov to Rabbi Sharfman for starting the shir, for putting kolchos into the shir. And I myself, walking into this 3 years ago, I still remember once when he was sick before Pesach, I was asked to give a share. And then after Pesach, I was asked to continue the shirim, and probably didn't know what I was getting myself into. And it's quite a challenge, but it's at the same time a tremendous, tremendous chus. And I myself, my family, tremendously makar tov to Sharfman family, Kesher, that were able to do this, and the yeshiva, and Bez Hashem, Bishzolche, to bring schusim to the Sharfman Tzatzal and the whole Sharfman family for many, many, many years to come. Today's shir, I do want to mention one other factor before I even get to today's share about Rabbi Sharfman. Just last night, I was listening to shirim from Rabbi Sharfman, and one share that caught my interest, he had a share about the census. Anyone who knows, this past week, I believe it was official deadline, April 1st, 2020, here in America, is a deadline, or when they really start hawking, make sure that everyone has their census in. And yeah, look, I saw signs up about it, I got a few phone calls about it. You know, I'm a little surprised they went through this. You know, people were, you know, pretty busy with the whole Corona crisis. But yet, you know, everything's closed, but they still want everyone to get their census in. Okay, fine. So I did it, I went through it. But I didn't really stop to think, am I allowed halachically to do this? Like, I'm counting up all the people in my household. Rabbi Sharfman has an entire share, you can find it on Yeshiva's website, about census taking. Is one allowed to count Jews? Ties into Parshas Bamidbar, that Kadosh Baruch Hu takes counts of Klal Yisrael, but goes through the halacha. So is one allowed to participate in the census? I believe, I can go through the whole share, I believe the simple answer is yes, but exactly why, how about, I even saw advertisements of firm publications. All that means is the government paid money for that. It doesn't give necessarily a halachic heter. But Rabbi Sharfman was somebody who, with situations in life, was able, he didn't just see the situation. He saw the halachic issues behind it. And just a simple thing, filling out a census, ballot, whatever you call them. Rabbi Sharfman, wait, how's that shtem? How's that fit with the halachas of counting Jews? He always tied everything in to the prism of halacha. And that's something we're all missing today. You know, especially, there's so much going on in the world, this whole crisis. I happened to speak a few weeks ago, it's also on the Yeshiva's website. I had an askari here for Rabbi Sharfman. I didn't have it live in the building already. It was post the crisis, but recorded it. It's on the Yeshiva's website. But I was speaking about how we miss Rabbi Sharfman, especially in times like this of the crisis. And I spoke about just his attitude, his good cheer, his sense of humor is something that we all miss in our bunkers. You know, he was the light that would light up, you know, any challenging situation. But really, the other aspect, which I think Rabbanim, perhaps over here a little bit, we are trying to deal with, is all the halachic ramifications of the situation. Last week here, we spoke about Titus Bukharim. We'll talk about the Galata Levincha. But Rabbi Sharfman always saw things through that prism of halacha. And I can only imagine, I'm sure there are some areas that many people are missing within this whole situation, davening at home, and fortunately going through of Hilchos Pesach, that will have to be tweaked a little bit this year because of the situation. But Rabbi Sharfman would have been on top of every little thing and figuring out, okay, how do we do it different this year based on the situation? And there's no doubt, you know, Chazal say that people in Shemayim are able to bring about many things. As Hashem, we should all daven that as Hashem, we should get out of this situation as painlessly and quickly as possible, and all of Klai Yisrael together should experience Yeshuos and Bez Hashem, Geulos, and all those things that we're waiting for. This morning's share is on the mitzvah of Igalat Levincha. It's entitled, Are We All on the Same Page? Our separate but special Seder this year. And I think it's an important issue to talk about. I think it's very, very, very emotional issue. Being the situation as is, with a tremendous fear of spreading a disease which people don't really know that they're a carrier, that they have. You could go weeks without any symptoms, but the person has it. And chas v'shalom, it spread, okay, Baruch Hashem, many people that are easily able to recover, but there are many older people who obviously your immune system is compromised, and unfortunately, even people that seemingly were in good health beforehand have been very sick, many nifter, from this horrible, horrible magefa. And I believe there's really a consensus all around the world of Rabbanim, Gedolim, that are all telling people that they should be staying home this Pesach. That means not to celebrate Pesach together, parents and children, grandparents with grandchildren, people should not be traveling to spend Pesach together. Whoever is here, and they gave this announcement really a week ago, 10 days ago, that should be who is spending Pesach, but not to chas v'shalom compromise and expand it. And even though that's a very tough thing, but the Rabbanim, together with the officially advice of doctors are over, we're begging and begging and begging, pleading with people to do this. Just last week, I happened to hear a Rebbe from Lakewood, Shostel, who was begging, tearfully begging his Talmidim, please, 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 spend Pesach at home. He was offering any people that are struggling to make Pesach, try to work things out. And the Lakewood Yeshiva did tremendous things, helping out so many people that never made Pesach before. It's a challenging situation, no doubt. But really, it's best for everyone to be home. I know a friend of mine, his parents literally live one block away. But, and it could be if it was just even the initial of the parents, maybe they would go, but there are people there, there are situations, and they're afraid of exposure. And they want to adhere to what the Rabbanim are saying, and they told the parents, we know we're a block away, but we can't do it. And I believe this is, you know, the right path to, no matter how hard it is, to do whatever we can. Now the time is to be machmer in the mitzvah of pikuach nefesh. That's the mitzvah. All these other things that we're going to talk about today, yigad levincha, look, just like there's a mitzvah to perform, many times we have a chance to do a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah to perform the mitzvah. But in this case, the mitzvah is to listen to the Rabbanim and not perform these mitzvahs, not to gather together for Pesach. And Be'ez Hashem, we should be zocha to gather together for many other times. But obviously this agony, emotional agony, is very tough. I happened to hear this week, my friend gave a drasha one night about the situation. And at the end of his drasha, in his amazing style, my friend says, "Hare ani kiven shivim shana." I'm like 70 years old. He says, "Riyam, I'm above 70. And never in my life have I spent a Seder with only one other person." My friend didn't grow up in Lakewood or in Baltimore. He grew up in Seattle, Washington. But nevertheless, from the time he was born, he always had, Baruch Hashem, Yidden all over, Jews all over, celebrated Pesach Sedarim with family, neighbors, friends. He said through his years growing up, got married, spent time by his in-laws' house. Hashem had children, many grandchildren. He says, usually a Seder is a big, big crowd. And he broke down in tears. He said, this year the Seder is going to be myself and my wife, and that's it. And it is painful, and it is sad. It's a highlight of the Jewish calendar, families getting together. But unfortunately, That's the matzav that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was gozer for us this year. And what we're going to try to do today is go through some halachos of the Seder, and specifically this mitzvah of the Gadat HaLevincha, especially this year. And really, there's a special schus in doing that. I believe the Chafetz Chaim talks about, you know, nowadays we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. And even though we know there are 613 mitzvahs in the Torah, we can't do 613 mitzvahs. Many of the mitzvahs are tied to the Beis HaMikdash, tied to Karbanos, and we don't have the ability to do it. So Zakta Chafetz Chaim, if a person learns those halachos, understands those halachos, the learning of Torah, those halachos, are ki'ilu you did it, are as if you performed that mitzvah. If you go through the halachos of the karbanos, if you understand different mitzvos based on the Beis HaMikdash, which we don't have to be all rego, so many things. So by learning those halachos, so that itself gives us a schar in some dimension, in some way, as if we did it. So, l'chora, one could use that idea from the Chafetz Chaim. And although we may not be able to gather together some situation with our children, with our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, but if we learn the halachos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will consider it as if we did those mitzvos, and it should be a schus, Be'ez Hashem, to do it in the future, and Be'ez Hashem, we should all gather together for simchas, and to celebrate Pesach, and celebrate mitzvos, and celebrate life together. So I was going through these halachos, I also plan, have I think some, perhaps some good practical etzos of what to do this year with the challenging situation. And perhaps, especially, we still have a few days left before Pesach, people can implement them and we can make the best out of a challenging situation. Our Pesach Seder, as we said, might be separate, but it doesn't mean that it can't be special. Now let's go through the mitzvah of the Igalat HaLevincha. So the Torah says about Pesach, the Igalat HaLevincha b'yom ahu lemor, you should tell over to your, literally to your children, on that day, saying, Barver zeh asar Hashem li b'tzeitzim Mitzrayim. Because of this, Hashem did for me when we went out of Mitzrayim. In fact, years ago, I remember seeing from Volbi, Shlomo Volbi, he's medayik, the Lashon of Rashi, on that pasuk, that usually the way we think about it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, and because he took us out of Mitzrayim, so we have all these mitzvahs to remember. Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, Pesach Matzah Marah, we have this mitzvah, the Galat HaLevincha, as to commemorate, to give Hakaras HaTov for Yetzias Mitzrayim, for the Exodus. And of course that's true. We do these mitzvahs as an element of Hakaras HaTov, and it's a big yontif in terms of thanking Hashem for what we have. And we know of many situations, people throughout the ages, throughout Galus, where things were not going so well. Jews are suffering throughout Galus, and people held Siddurim. And despite the current situation we're in, it's not a reason that we don't have a Hakaras HaTov for the past, for Hashem freeing us from the Sheba Mitzrayim, and of course for a hope of things better in the come, in the years and time to come. But Rav Volbi is medayik from Rashi that really Bavar Zeh, because of this, in order that we could be mekayim, in order we should have these mitzvahs. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the world, and we went through, the Jewish people had to go through this challenge of Yetzias Mitzrayim, so that, to set up that for future generations, this will be a focal point, this will be part of Yiddishkeit, that we have to commemorate, we have to celebrate the Yom Tov of Pesach, we have to talk about that Yetziah, because we need that. Not just because of Hakaras HaTov, because of Emuna, because that's part needed now as part of the makeup of a Jew. We went out of Mitzrayim so that we could have these commemorations, that we could have this night, this Lel Seder, this focus of Emuna, which the mitzvah of the Igalat HaLevincha is. The mitzvah of the Igalat HaLevincha is a mitzvah of spreading Emuna. And that's a special mitzvah that we have on the night of Pesach. Now, one thing one might ask is, don't we have a mitzvah every day to remember that we went out of Mitzrayim? Besides all the individual mitzvahs, which might be Zechir Yetzias Mitzrayim, but isn't there a mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? In fact, we do it every day, morning and night, by Kriyat Shema, L'man Tizkeru. Right? We're supposed to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, the end of the third parsha. So why is it, what's so special we got to Levincha? Don't we have this mitzvah every single day of the year? So this is the famous kasha, which is brought down that the Brisker Rav would say over every single year at the beginning of the Seder. And a quote from his father, Chaim Brisker, that there are three differences, three nafkaminas, between the simple mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is all year round, and the mitzvah of the Igalat HaLevincha. In fact, I would say it's even in the nafkamina to know these three differences in terms of the concept of mitzvah Tzrichas Kavana, especially with some elements here of Pesach, Yetzias Mitzrayim. Ideally, one should have in mind that they're doing this Mekayim Magid, this Mekayim, the mitzvah of the Igalat HaLevincha. And these three areas, what are the three differences, special things about this mitzvah? Firstly, it has to be done as a question and answer. It's not just mentioned in passing, but really there's supposed to be a certain depth of understanding by asking questions and thinking about answers. That's a true way to get to a deeper understanding of it. It's not just you say these words and you yose. Ideally, there should be that you should get involved to the best of your ability, and that's why they have so many Haggadahs and so many Perushim, that to the best of our ability to understand about Yetzias Mitzrayim, to understand these Ikrim, these basics in Emuna, is people should invest time and effort preparing before Pesach, but for sure by the Seder itself to understand. You know, Magid shouldn't just be you run through it to get to the food. Second nafkamina is we don't just talk about that the end point that we went on Mitzrayim. We don't just read the last chapter. The book begins much before that. Maschil begnos u'mishayim b'sfach. We really start, the story of the Exodus doesn't begin the day we left. It begins when we went down to Mitzrayim. It begins Arami Ovi, all the way back from the Avos, hundreds of years till we left. And that idea of telling the full story, Maschil Begnos and Mitzrayim B'Shmach, is the second element that's special the night of Pesach. And the third element is we're supposed to understand to the best of our abilities the Mitzvah Sayom. It's the famous part towards the end of Magid, Rabbi Gamliel Haya Omer, Leo says an idea that if one doesn't say these three things, and more than that, doesn't understand it because it explains it. Pesach, Matzah, Maror. Why did we have a Karban Pesach? Why do we eat Matzah? Why do we eat Maror? To understand the Tamei HaMitzvos, That's something which is also special to this night, which we don't have for the rest of the year. So again, those three things. Number one, that the Galut al Vincha is ideally supposed to be with a question and answer to get to the depth. Number two, that it's the full story. It's Maskal B'Gnus and Messiah B'Shmach. We talk about the origin of our nation, even if many things weren't perfect, but we go through the whole storyline up until leaving. And thirdly, explain the Tamei HaMitzvahs. Now, this mitzvah of V'Igalta al Vincha doesn't just apply to men, doesn't just apply to boys, it applies to everybody. It applies to women too. Women also have a mitzvah, V'Igalta al Vincha. In fact, one of the things the Haggadah says, right, by the Shena Dei Elisha, At Pesachlo, my father would always make a point. At is a Lashon Nekeva, that means it's a woman. Women also are chayiv in this mitzvah. And obviously, with the challenges that Pesach brings, and for some people especially this year, they're not used to making Pesach. They've gone away, children, grandchildren. It's a tiresome night. You know, Erev Pesach, Halvai, everything's ready. You know, the morning of Erev Pesach. Usually it's not. There's a lot to do. It's a busy, busy day. And women bear the brunt of that challenge, and they can be very tired. They can still be very busy in the kitchen preparing the suda for that night. And they may not be able to sit there by the table the whole time. And I saw the poskim say, what's the minimum? It's important to know. What's the minimum that a woman should do? Obviously, ideally, to go through the whole Haggadah, to try to read, or to be in the room, to listen when the Haggadah is being read. But what's the minimum of what a woman should do? So two things. Number one is the answer to the child's question. When you ask, Manishtana halala zemiko alelos, the answer is avarmayinu. The reason why we do all these different things is because we were slaves, because Baruch Hu took us out, and therefore, basic idea, we owe Kodesh Baruch Hu a tremendous, tremendous debt of gratitude. That's the basic answer. So that is the short cliff note version of Mitzvah Sipur Tzvi Tzrayim. So that you have to do. And additionally, we normally say for women that one should also do the Rebbe Gamliel, Koshal Omer, Shlosh Devar Mepesach, Liyotzu Dechavosa, towards the end of Magid. Those paragraphs of Pesach, Matzah, Mara, ideally a woman should also do. So if they're stuck and they're busy and they're tired and this, the two minimums that a woman should do is Avadam Hayinu, to go through the basic answer to the Manash Tana, and secondly, Rebbe Gamliel. So brought down, which unfortunately is quite relevant this year. So a post can talk about, what about, you have a doctor who's very busy. You have a Hatzalah person who's very busy. And Rechmon Aslan, dealing with the rates that we have, you know, going on in firm communities, you know, the Hatzalah people, the doctors, medical staff are literally on the front lines of this war. And we owe a tremendous, tremendous debt of gratitude. And anytime you see someone walking around with a Hatzalah jacket these days, you know, of a doctor, you know, who's involved in this, it's night and day. You know, they don't know the difference between night and day. They're so busy with this. And we hope it doesn't come to it, but Lamaisa, by the rate that things are going, I am sure there'll be a lot of from medical professionals that won't be able to be sitting by their Seder. They'll be busy with patients, and obviously, Shas Maisa, you're involved with the patient, and you're involved in Bikuach Nefesh. Bikuach Nefesh is Docha Kol HaTorah, and you don't have to do anything. But ideally, a doctor who's stuck, who's busy in this, if he has a few minutes to get in while he's making his rounds on the way back from Hatzalah call, what should he say? From the Haggadah, I saw Shmuel Kamenetsky brings down the minimum, the absolute minimum, where again, well, you're not involved in that moment with Pikuach Nefesh is to say Avon Ma'inu. Even Rabbi Gamaliel, there's Yesh Al-Ma'ilismoch, that you don't necessarily have to say that. Ideally, obviously, one should. But the absolute minimum is Avon Ma'inu, which you could squeeze in anytime you have, you know, a 2 minute break. Now, simply the mitzvah of Igalat Levincha is applicable to the people you have at your Seder. The Igalat Levincha by Yom HaLeimar is, I am going to explain the Haggadah, explain these basics in Amuna to the people here, people at your Seder, so one's children, and we'll see in a moment, one's grandchildren who are there by the Seder. There's an obligation on a parent to give over. What happens if they're not there at the Seder? One's children, one's grandchildren are not there at the Seder. The pashtus is one doesn't have a mitzvah. The mitzvah is whoever you could explain to. If they're not there, they're not there. What can you do? You obviously can't zoom in. You can't play Zoom and call them. You don't do that. So pashtos, the mitzvah of the Levincha, are for those people who are there by your table. Now, what about grandchildren? I mentioned that, yeah, the Igalat Levincha you have to tell to your children, but if you have grandchildren by your Seder, so the mitzvah to tell the grandchildren too. Where does that come from? So I found also Shmuel Kamenetsky brings down that really the mitzvah Igalat Levincha is tied together, is modeled after the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. He has multiple proofs to this idea. And the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is very interesting. It is not just a mitzvah to teach Torah to one's children, but there's even a chiyuv to teach Torah to one's grandchildren. The shinantam uvanecha is not just one's children, it applies to grandchildren too. The Gemara and Kedushin Darshins talking about teaching Torah to one's grandchildren. In fact, there even are some poskim that say in some ways it's a greater chiyuv on a grandparent because the grandparent is a generation closer to Har Sinai. And the Torah of a grandparent in many ways is greater than the Torah of a parent. It's imbibed over more years. It's a greater Torah. And thus, there's just like by Talmud Torah, we say there's a certain degree of an obligation on grandparents too. Right? The yeshivas know about this. Sometimes they solicit grandparents for donations to the yeshiva too. But it's not just in terms of Talmud Torah. It's also in terms of the Igalat Levincha. It's in terms of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim would also apply to grandchildren. Obviously, this is why, you know, many times, you know, people do what they can to have their grandchildren there by the Seder. When they have the grandchildren there, they too could be involved in the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, what does get a little tricky is let's think back to a big Seder. We have children, we have grandchildren, all they are sitting together by a Seder. Many times, it's not just one married child you can have there at the Seder, sometimes you can have multiple married children at the Seder. You have a grandfather there, multiple parents there. So who exactly, really, I guess you have the first question first. You know, who says the Ma'anish Tama? When you have a lot of people gathered together, just Ma'anish Tama itself could take a while. And there are different mahagim, different things people do. There are some households which they pick the youngest child able to speak, or say it in Yiddish, or maybe even Spanish. The youngest child able to speak gets up and says, Manishtana, the Adkan. That's it. Just one kid says the Manishtan. There are other homes which they open the door to anybody. Anybody who wants to say the Manishtana says the Manishtana. Like in my home, the joke is you could say the Manishtana if you say it in a different language. So we try to have a few different languages: English, Hebrew, Yiddish, Spanish. It's all good. But there are different minhagim who, how to go about the Manishtana. But what about the next step, the answer? Now, I know the kids like saying things in stereo, you know. Everyone has to say their Manishtana. But there's, how many answers do they have to get to the question? Especially if it's basically the same answer. So, I also saw it brought down, Shmuel follows through on this, that just like the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is not necessarily that a parent should teach his child. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is a parent has an achrayus, has a responsibility, that Torah is taught to his child. Most parents today are mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, v'shinatam uvanecha, by sending your child to yeshiva, by paying for tuition. That's how you mekayim the mitzvah v'shinatam uvanecha. Of course, you have avos ubanim, you spend time, sometime learning with your child. But the brunt of it, the bulk of it, is a child learning in yeshiva. So we see when it comes to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, it's not dependent upon you teaching Torah to your child. It's your responsibility to make sure that Torah is taught to the next generation. So then, so too, when it comes to the mitzvah of the Igalat Levincha, it doesn't need that you should be the one, you the father, should be the one to answer your child's question, to explain Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's sufficient if the grandfather who's there at the table is the one to go and explain it to the child. It's sufficient if an uncle got involved, or a guest even, whoever's there at the table, if they answer the question, your achrayus is to oversee, is to watch, make sure that your son, your daughter, understands and answer why we go about the Seder, what's the purpose of the Seder, what are the basics in Amuna. And it doesn't have to be that you yourself be the one to give the answer. Very, very important yisod, and it comes up, you see by the Yisodarim, you know, it's nice for everyone to chime in at different parts, but you don't need, definitely, by the answer. For the kids, they all prepared it, so that's your minna, kol kavod, all the kids say manishtana. But in terms of the answers, in terms of avodam ayinu, 100%, I could be yotzi my mitzvah of igalta levincha, of sipur yitzias mitzrayim, just by overseeing that my son gets the answer tonight. It's not really how just the Rebbe taught him back in class. Tonight, at the Seder, the night of the 14th, ideally, b'shal sheyesh matzah mara, v'nachum lefanav, at that tonight, that's the mitzvah of the Igalat Levincha. Interesting. I found a story of Shlomo Zalman Orbach that he spent a lot of time living in the house with his in-laws. And on the common Shabbos, Shlomo Zalman was there with his father-in-law. His father-in-law was at the head of the table. And Shlomo Zalman would be on the side, even though Shlomo Zalman had a whole mishpacha, even the older mishpacha, but his father-in-law always sat at the head of the table. But when it came to the night of the Pesach, he sat alongside his father-in-law. Now, when I read the story, I'm like, okay, they just didn't have room and more guests on Pesach. But I said, that's not the pshat. Shlomo Zalman did that as a hecker. Now, that I don't think the Rav Shlomo Zalman necessarily arguing this is so to say before from Rav Shmuel. But the mitzvah of the Igalat Levincha, look, it's my achrayas. It's not just the grandfather's achrayas to teach Torah, to teach the Haggadah to his grandchildren. I also, as a father, have that chiyuv. So I'll oversee it. I'll sit next to my father-in-law. I can give all the answers. But it's part of my mitzvah too. So the one night all year that Rav Shlomo Zalman sat alongside his father was the night of the Seder. Because it is a parent's obligation. At the end of the day, the buck stops here. You have to make sure that your child is being mechanach in the proper way. Now the Gemara goes through. Fortunately, in the situation, what happens if there are no children at the Seder? No sons, no daughters, no kids. Who's going to ask the Mishnah? So, Zak, the Gemara, if you don't have children, then the wife should be the one to ask the Mishnah. I know there are many bubbies that are practicing for days. It's been years since they said the Mishnah. But look, Chosman Va'ez, they're on duty. What happens? Person doesn't is alone, doesn't have a wife. If you have a guest, it's you and your roommate, someone else, someone, the two of you, even two Tamina Chachamim, everyone should ask each other the Manashtana. What happens? Unfortunately, only the lonely. You have people having Sadarm this year. Unfortunately, this happens other years too. I think there are a lot of lessons we can learn from this whole circumstance. But, I'm sure Be'ez Hashem next year, when we shall have the schus to be able to invite guests, people will appreciate more what it means to be lonely, what it means, not to have a Seder. I was going through some of the halachas. I saw someone brought down a shayla. What happens, a divorced woman, a woman who doesn't have a husband. So 100%, there is an inyan of obviously having a Seder. It falls on the mother in that situation to teach, Higadat HaLvincha. But think about those, how many people are sitting by themselves. This year, when we're, for the most part, alone, we could somewhat empathize what there are many Jews throughout the year that are alone. Shabbosim on Warsaw, on Yontif, and whatever we could do to invite them would be a wonderful, wonderful thing. But what happens if a person is by themselves for the Seder? So the halacha, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, that you ask yourself the Manashtana. And what's the purpose of asking oneself the Manashtana? So the Mefarshim explain that through the act of asking, you crystallize, you focus on something better. And thus, someone just asked me, if they're two adults, what are you accomplishing? Right, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, even two Tamini Chachamim. We know this from yeshiva, we know this from learning. When you learn something b'chavrusa, you're automatically going to get a better understanding of it. When you have to speak it out, you have to be masber to somebody else. If you challenge the person with a question, when you think to have a question, that process is mefalfal, brings out depth of Torah that you wouldn't have recognized otherwise. And it's even true of the person himself. People could be their own chavrusa. People could be their own best friend. But when you ask, when you verbalize it, when you think about it, so that does a lot to getting just even a little ounce of more clarity. That's a big accomplishment. So that's those are the basic halachas of the mitzvah of Higadat HaLvincha. I would spend a couple moments, two interesting shailas that I saw that are nogea the Haggadah. One, the Rishonim talk about. Why is it we don't make a bracha on the Haggadah? Right? The Haggadah, mitzvah of Higadat HaLvincha, is probably one of the most important mitzvahs we're going to do all year. For sure, part of the Seder night. We make a bracha on matzah, we make a bracha on maror. Why don't we make a bracha? Sher kid shalom misosu izvano al sipur yitzias betzrayim. Why don't we do that? Why don't we make a bracha on it? So a different answer is given by the Rishonim. One particular answer the Rush gives, very interesting, that I do have on the sheets. The Rush says, that you don't necessarily need Haggadah b'peh. You don't necessarily need to even say out the Haggadah. According to the Rosh Hashita, others say differently. But the Rosh says you don't even have to spell out the words of the Haggadah. It can be done in your mind. It can be done in the person's mind. And therefore, we don't make a bracha. What's the correlation? Because you could do in your mind, okay, but still a mitzvah, why don't we make a bracha on that? So I saw some people explain, oh, the basis of this Rosh is really based on a famous base, Yosef, who says, actually by the mitzvah of bedikas of betel chametz. You know, one of the mitzvahs of getting rid of chametz is to be mevatel it. You say the whole kol chamira. How come we don't make a bracha on that? So the Beis Yosef says, because the ikar of that mitzvah is belayv, is in a person's mind, even if you do say the words. But it's really chal with just thinking about it. And we don't make a bracha on mitzvahs which are accomplished by thought. Now, really, it's not a Beis Yosef. The source of the Beis Yosef really stems back to, there's a Torah. It says, the Torah, Aruch Chaim, Siman Tov, Lamed Vav. So that does sound like a very interesting pshat to say in the Rosh. People who explain the Rosh based on the Beis Yosef, because the Torah, we know, is the son of the Rosh. So it makes sense that the Torah, who really is a champion, is a source of this idea, we don't make a bracha on mitzvos which are belayv, really the source would stem from his father, Shalos HaTshuvos. That's the reason we'll make a bracha on the Haggadah, because the Haggadah, the ikar of the mitzvah, is belayv. And I saw Mefarshim explain, it doesn't just mean, okay, so you don't have to say it, there's more to it than that. Is the ikar of the mitzvah is the kavana, is the understanding, is the havana, that we should understand the Haggadah, we should understand why we have these mitzvahs of Pesach, Matzah, Marah, we should understand the whole chronicle of Jewish history from the Avos until Yetzias Mitzrayim. The more we understand, the more Havana we have in it, the better. And it's a mitzvah which is very, very much, it's not lip service. It's not just words we're saying. It's Havana, it's understanding. And it's really a mitzvah in one's mind. I saw an interesting Shaila Nogia the second night of Pesach, which you have in many situations, you know. Baruch Hashem, many people that are zocha to live in Eretz Yisrael, and you can have families where the parents are American, but their American son fell in love, or daughter fell in love with Eretz Yisrael, never left. Now they live in Eretz Yisrael. Baruch Hashem, they get together for Pesach. So what would say it doesn't matter, America or Israel. An American father is together with his Israeli son. They're spending Pesach together. Obviously the father, assuming the Pesach is, he's a full American, he keeps 2 days of Yontif. His son, who's already an Israeli, he keeps 1 day of Yontif. So on the second day of Yontif, the father is going to have a Seder, either in America or in Israel, right? Sensibly, right? The child, you know, might have to set it to Seder if he's in America. Okay. Does the child forget about Kibbud Av V'Em and Kavod for a parent? But in terms of the mitzvah of the Igadot Levincha, there's a mitzvah to tell over Emunah, tell over Yetzias Mitzrayim to one's children. Is that mitzvah applicable if the child doesn't have the mitzvah of Pesach? For the Israeli child, the second night of Pesach is Chol HaMoed. He doesn't have the mitzvah tonight of Haggadah, of the mitzvah Hayom. The father does. How do we view this mitzvah of Igalat Levincha? Chanan, don't say anything. How do we understand the mitzvah of Igalat Levincha, where it's really, it takes a father, it takes a son? But if the father has a mitzvah and the son doesn't, and really could go vice versa, the father could be Israeli, the son moved to Chutz La'aretz. But that scenario, what would you say? I saw Rebbe Elia Baruch Finkel asked this question all around Eretz Yisrael, got quite a few different answers. The most common answer, though, he got from Noble Yoshev, Chaim Kanievsky, David Soloveitchik, Yibadol Chaim, Chaim and David Soloveitchik. So Shlomo Zalman also says that way, is they say the Iker is telling the father. So as long as the father has a chiyuv, the gadol levincha, then the son also has that chiyuv of hearing, of going through the Haggadah with him. The father would have a chiyuv to tell over to the son, as long as the son is there. Very interesting. Practically, I'd like to talk a few minutes of what we could do this year in terms of this mitzvah of Vigadat Levincha, with many of us not being able to celebrate Pesach with our children. So firstly, I think the first thing that we should try to be involved in is really the mitzvah of Pesach, Vigadat Levincha. Yeah, it might be the actual element we'll talk about in a moment, or maybe a little more, saying over the Haggadah. But there's so many aspects of the Yontov of Pesach, so many minhagim, both during the night of Seder and really in the prep even before Pesach, that are so much part of our Mesorah, from family to family, through the generations. And especially when children are making their first Seder themselves, or even scenarios where children, you know, Baruch Hashem, I've been zocheh to make quite a few siddurim already, but every year I'd make a Seder, I'd have my parents or my in-laws here, so we would have them close by, make questions. What do we do for this? What do we do for that? They would be here to tell us Shas Maaseh at the Seder. This year, when we'd be separated, it might be sad, but I think there's a beautiful thing in it. Is we all have the opportunity this year to connect with one's parents, one's grandparents, and crystallize, get down clear what are the family minhagim for these things. What do we do in this case? What do we do in that case? Right? What do we use for maror? What do we do for this? All different things. What tune even do we use when we sing this? That's all part of the mesorah of the family. And I'll tell you, as a young person, when you have to make your own Seder, the responsibility, the focus, okay, I can't rely on my father, I can't rely on grandparents, I got to do it myself. So that puts a responsibility on the young parents, and to connect with the parents, to give over, okay, let's go through all the steps. What do we do for the Seder? I saw a beautiful thing. There's a Rebbe had it all year round. I saw it a couple years ago. Yeah, I think I saw maybe. I go to one of these websites, put it on. He has a list of hundreds of potential different minhagim. He gave out to his Talmidim. Go check through. What do you do with this step? What do you do with that step? Just fill it out. Call up Zaidi. You might have more time in the end. You might have less. Go through. What are our minhagim for the Seder? And this way, we'll have it that when we have our own separate siddurim, they're more meaningful because we're practicing the Seder in the way that our parents, grandparents, and generations before did it. Second point is many Mefarshim say when we're giving over the Ikrim of Emuna, it's not just about Yetzias Mitzrayim, but we have to envision our own lives Ki'ilu Yatzim Mitzrayim, and we have to make the Seder as personal as possible. You can imagine, Rechmon Hatzlan, someone who went through the Holocaust, when he had his own Yetzias Mitzrayim, he lived through it. Pesach is a night to give over faith, to give over a person's life experiences in all scenarios, surviving America years ago, surviving, living in Florida before it became what it is today. All these are segments of giving over basics in Emunah, basics in faith, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the world. And that's something which is obviously a particular flavor every parent and grandparent can give over. And that's part of the Seder. And On a normal year, when they're there by our siddurim, they can do that. But one nice etza that I thought of, I actually saw some people were spreading this, is to try to ask parents, grandparents, people who are not going to be by your seder, if they could write a short letter, an email, and send it to you. And this way, you'll have reminiscence, feelings, a message for the grandchildren there at the Seder. They may not be there. This may not be the exact way to be Mekayim, V'igadat al-Lavincha, you're not there at the Seder. But some shemetz, something, some tzad of the mitzvah, that if you write a letter, if you send an email that can be read at the Seder, that they're participating in some way, saying over, look, the kids have many sheets from the Rebbeim too. Maybe not as much this year. But they're saying Divrei Torah over, how more meaningful it would be to have parents, grandparents, people to share Divrei Torah, share life experiences that they would express, they could express at the Seder, that one could read and be a part of it. And really, with that, I think there's another silver lining, is we don't usually do these things, right? We don't have recordings by our siddurim, and they're really usually emotional times, meaningful times, such a beautiful, beautiful night in a family's history, in Klal Yisrael's history. And this year, you know, dear grandchild, if a parent could take a few minutes, grandparent could take a few minutes, and write a letter to their grandchildren, that's something Be'ezer Hashem they'll have for generations. Don't throw them away. Make sure to pack it away in your Haggadahs. Save it, make copies of it. But then this year, through all the circumstances that we have, that we're not able to be together, but maybe in some ways we'll have a silver lining. Those, you know, you print out that letter, you have that letter. When you find the letter years later from something you had years ago, do you know how meaningful that is? Maybe this younger generation doesn't know that. But a letter is something which could transcend generations. And I think that's a way that everybody this year could connect with their children, their grandchildren. They're not there by their normal Seder. By doing that, we could all be connected, and Be'ezus Hashem, L'shana Haba B'Yerushalayim, we should all be together and celebrate Pesach the way we should be. The same way that we're in pain this year, we should realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's pain all these years, that we're not able to be together in the ultimate way that we should. And Be'ezus Hashem, this every tear, every step, every tzara is another brick in the building of the Beis HaMikdash, which we should see the Karav B'Yameinu. Amen. Thank you very much for listening, and it should be a tremendous schus for Rabbi Sharfman. Kol Tov, Chag Kosher V'Sameach.